morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. We're so delighted that you chose to join us this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you. The first is to remind session that we are scheduled to have our monthly session meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Cliff will be sending out the Zoom link for that in a couple days or so. Also, would like to remind the deacons that your next meeting is not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday via Zoom. I will send out the link for that meeting a little bit later in the week. Finally, I would like to introduce our special guest this morning. This is Lieutenant Benko from the Shaler Police Department. He is here as part of some community outreach that they are doing through a program called Faith in Blue. If you'd like to meet him or learn more about the program, he will be here after the service if you have any questions. Friends, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with us in our opening hymn, God is Calling Through the Whisper.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults.
restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your holy name.
Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let us join together and profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
Thank you. prayer and praise requests this morning. Kathy Segi is asking for prayers for Julie. Julie is Kathy's sister-in-law, and the doctors have found that she has a cyst on her ovary. Just asking for prayers that it is benign and that the tests are conclusive for her. Also, praise request from me. A few weeks ago, I asked for prayers for my mother, and she has rallied one more time and is much better than she was 2 weeks ago, so I thank you for those prayers. And prayer request from me also for my sister. Some of you know my sister Lowry. She has been hospitalized in Florida. And prayer request from Kathy Segi for Dee Brooker. Last week or a few weeks ago, we prayed for her husband, Tom. Tom has passed away. He passed away on Thursday. And pray that the family will find peace during this time. And a praise request also from Kathy for her nephew, Brandon, who has found his way. He is finding his way to God. He's reading the Bible and is looking for a church. Pray that he finds the strength and the peace and calmness that the Lord can provide.
Friends, please join me in prayer. Loving God, through your Son, you have called us to repent of our sin, to believe the good news, and to celebrate the coming of your kingdom. Like Christ's apostles, may we hear his call to discipleship, and forsaking old ways, proclaim the gospel of new life to a broken world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this morning we pray for Julie and for Lowry. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you would be with Dee as she mourns the passing of her husband, Thomas. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for a treatment and a vaccine for the coronavirus. We also lift up especially to you this day all of those throughout our country and world who are recovering from it. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that Libs has rallied and turned a corner and is feeling better. And Lord, we also thank you for Brandon's renewed faith. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by reflecting and presenting our offering. Thank you. Let us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture for today is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murdered and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is a parable about salvation. With this strange story of a wedding banquet gone awry, Jesus teaches us how we are saved and then how we are to act given the fact that we are saved. As we listen to the parable of the wedding banquet, we are challenged to confront our own uncomfortableness with the fact that God really does love everyone. This parable is kind of a confusing one to wrap our mind around, so I thought it would be helpful to kind of go over the main points of it. Jesus begins the parable by telling us that a king prepares a wedding banquet. He prepares the feast. He readies the wedding clothes. He orders his servants to clean the palace from top to bottom. But on the day of the wedding, his guests don't show up. They're too busy. They'd rather not be bothered. Now, the king interprets this as a sign that they are plotting a rebellion against him. So he orders his servants to go and kill all of the wedding guests. The king then decides, well, this banquet is already together. Might as well have people come and enjoy it. So he throws open the doors of his palace. He tells his servants to invite anyone that's milling about outside to come in and join the feast. The wedding hall is now filled with guests, all celebrating the wedding feast together. At a certain point, the king looks out over the crowd and he notices a man in attendance who isn't wearing wedding clothes. Enraged, the king tells his servants to throw this man out, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, I think it's helpful to remember that there are actually two parts to this parable. The first part is that, like the doors of the king's palace, the doors of God's kingdom are thrown open to everyone. The second part of the parable, though, is once you decide to join the party, there are certain rules to govern your behavior. Now, if we think back to the audience that would have heard this parable for the first time, the first part of this parable would have been very offensive to the chief priests and the elders that are gathered around Jesus to hear him tell it. Remember, a big part of the Jewish faith is believing that you are a part of Israel, God's chosen people. And here is this man, Jesus, telling everyone who will listen, now everyone is included in God's favor. In Jesus, salvation is now possible for everyone. And this news would have been highly disturbing to the chief priests and the elders of Jesus' day. Now, the second part of the parable would have been more comfortable for them. But this part is perhaps more unsettling for us. And this is that once you have accepted to follow Jesus, there are rules. It was funny, I was reading a commentary this week about this passage, and the commentary was paraphrasing Karl Barth, who's a famous theologian. And Barth said that the problem of the parable is not that the wedding guest shows up to the wedding, it's that he doesn't party hard enough. And what he means by this is that once the man decided to show up to the wedding, he's still expected to show up in wedding clothes, because to not do it is just rude. I think what Jesus is trying to do here is to show a parallel between the wedding guests and us, in that, in the life of Christian discipleship, it's not enough that we just profess faith in Jesus. Our behavior has to reflect our confession. I do think that this part of the parable is hard for us, because it requires us to accept not only that God loves everyone, but that God continues to hold us accountable for our behavior. I think we're okay with the fact that God loves everyone, until this requires us to accept that this means that God loves the people who annoy us, who've hurt us, who continue to behave badly and rarely seem to suffer for it. The worst part of this, and I think this is the real kicker of this parable, is that God is going to continue to hold us accountable for our actions, even when it doesn't feel like God is holding others accountable. I can just picture the man, after he's been thrown out of the banquet, arguing with God and saying, "Other people showed up to this banquet not wearing wedding clothes. Why was I the only one that got kicked out here?" This feeling of being unfairly persecuted, I call this feeling martyrdom syndrome, where we become so focused on the unfairness of our own situation, we lose sight of the bigger picture. We forget that life is hard for everyone, and that God isn't intentionally making my life more difficult than it needs to be. I'm sure all of us in this room have felt martyrdom syndrome at some point in our lives. And I think it comes up more when we are under stress, or when we're not sure what we're doing or what's happening next. I've seen this martyrdom syndrome pay out amongst my friends when we're calling to kind of check in with each other. This past week, I was on a Zoom meeting with three other people, and we were kind of saying, "Oh, how are you doing?" And I shared, you know, like, "I really don't love working from home. It's lonely, and my cat keeps interrupting me." To which my friend said, like, "If you think it's difficult working at home with a cat, you should try working at home with two toddlers." To which the third person on the call said, "It must be nice to have work that you can do from home." This all got me thinking about this martyrdom syndrome and how it's actually not helpful to anyone in our life of faith. And it got me thinking about when we're confronted with martyrdom syndrome, what are we to do? It just so happens, as I was thinking about this, I got a phone call from my mother. My mother loves to call me on Sundays and on Tuesday mornings and tell me what her pastor preached about that day. And on Tuesday morning, she calls me to tell me what her Bible study did on Monday night, and usually they're talking about what they preached on Sunday. Even though I've told my mom multiple times, "Mom, like, I'm a pastor and I preach twice every Sunday, so you really don't need to tell me what you heard on Sunday too," but she just pretends she went deaf when I said that. Now, my mom's church is going through a sermon series on Jonah. Does everyone remember Jonah? God told Jonah, "Go to Nineveh," and Jonah said, "No thanks, I'd rather not." So God has a whale swallow Jonah so he can reflect on his poor life choices. Jonah eventually gets to Nineveh, but God had to get pretty dramatic to get him there. Anyway, my mom called to tell me that she learned something new about God in reading the story of Jonah. She said, "I know we talk in church all the time about God loving everybody, and, you know, I never thought that Jonah was all that lovable, and I certainly didn't think that God having Jonah be swallowed by a whale was because God loved him, or that God wanted the best for him to be a prophet in Nineveh." This got me thinking, maybe when bad things happen to us, when I feel like God is testing me, maybe it's because God is preparing me for a new chapter. So instead of being mad at God that he would dare to put me through this, maybe it's more helpful for me to focus on what I'm learning during this hard thing and how I might use that in the future. I gotta admit, I almost dropped the phone when she said this. It took me 3 years of seminary to get to this part of the Jonah story, and she got it in a 20-minute sermon, but I was very impressed with her reading of it. Friends, Jonah is this classic example of a man suffering from martyrdom syndrome in the Old Testament. "Can't you send somebody else to Nineveh? God, I'm busy." It's only when he's in the belly of the whale that he thinks, "Geez, maybe God is trying to tell me something here." And it is when he's in the belly of the whale that he's able to let go of the anger he feels towards God for putting him there. And he's able to find the courage to go to Nineveh and prophesy to the people there. I share this story because I think it might be helpful for us to reflect on what God is teaching us in the midst of a difficult season of life, than to be angry at God for putting us through it. When I think of the great men and women in Scripture, or even the great women and men in my own life, the one thing that they all have in common is that they have all been through hard times. And at some point, they use the anger that they felt for experiencing this hard time as an opportunity for them to learn something new about themselves, about God, or about the world they lived in. Friends, as we prepare to go from this place, my prayer for us this week is that we won't waste difficult seasons of life, that we will use them as an opportunity to draw closer to God and to one another. We are all going to face trials and tribulations. We are all going to mess up at times when we face those difficulties. But we all get to decide how we are going to meet those challenges, knowing that in Jesus, God goes out ahead of us. and that God has promised never to leave us, forsake us, or shut the doors on his kingdom. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 747, Together We Serve. Let me say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.